Welcome to the Steelers Battle League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you on this fine Tuesday evening?
Man, I'm great. The sun's out, so the guns are out. You know what I'm saying? Anyways.
Oh, man, hide them.
We're not going to start. Because James could bench press me.
many times.
Many times. I could probably bench press you if I wanted to. One time.
Yeah, one time.
We're gonna try it, and I'll let you guys know if I can bench press James.
It's 215.
If I can't bench press, if I can't, I probably could. But if I can't, you're never gonna hear about the story again. but anyways, we just want to. Well, first, before anything else, James, how are you? I gotta ask.
I'm good, man. Feeling a little refreshed coming out of this holiday weekend. Hope everybody had a nice Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
And just kind of wanted to take a quick couple seconds here. And if any of you listening are veterans or served family members that were in the military, we do really appreciate your service or your family member's service, or if there was one that sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice. Really appreciate that. My sister personally was in the Air Force for over 20 years. So yeah, you have a sacrifice when a family member or even yourself is in the military. You don't get to see them that much.
Yep.
And it's really nice to be able to see her as often as I do now. And I hope you all are able to get through things as well and spend time with family. And I hope you had time with family over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. This was the first Memorial Day without my grandpa, who served in the Navy, which was really sad. So we had a nice little moment for him at our family get together yesterday, which was a good time. Again, we hope you all had a fantastic Memorial Day, ate some good food, enjoyed some time with family, and remembered the loved ones, and just remembered, you know, the blessing that it is to live in this free country. And we thank those who served. So moving on to Steelers freaking news. First off, actually, before we go Steelers news, Steelers by the Lake news, we are 6 followers away on Facebook. Last we checked, who knows, maybe by now we're at it, away from 900, which is huge. We can't thank you guys enough. Wave the terrible towel. There you go. James had to get his new terrible towel. Was that the one you bought when we went to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, this is. I picked up 2 new ones. This one's got the American flag all over it, which is pretty nice. And then this one has the explanation of the terrible towel itself, in that it is not a jinx.
Nope.
It is not meant to hex the opponent. And it goes through the whole thing on there.
But we'll tell you what, when other players
go on this wall, it's going to go right over here underneath this jersey. I'm going to tuck the jersey up a little bit, and that blank spot here, that's where those are going
to
go.
Nice. It should be warned that it does jinx other teams when they decide to stomp on it.
Yes, it does.
It hasn't turned out well for most of those.
Ask the Tennessee Titans and the Cincinnati Bengals.
TJ, who's your mama? anyways, going to Steelers news now. Steelers did finally hire a new GM by the name of Omar Khan, and we've talked about him a lot. Wasn't the guy that James thought was going to be in the role, but probably the second most thought of guy for that role for sure. I don't have much more to say about him. I'm sure you have more to say about Omar.
From a business acumen, this is a guy that's about as smart as it gets. Mm-hmm. When you think about all the situations Pittsburgh found themselves in financially in the last like 5 or 6 years, trying to balance the books, still retain all the talent that they had while paying Ben Roethlisberger, who's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL wage-wise for so many years. And then when COVID hit, you know, all of a sudden the salary cap is $30 million lower than what you thought it was going to be. And you're $30, $40 million over the cap. And how the heck, well, I guess you're going to probably have to lose a lot of players. Nope, you didn't lose anybody. Omar Khan was a magician when it came to managing the cap. And he's still going to have his hands involved in that side of the business. This last offseason, we actually saw Omar Khan get involved in the scouting side of things, which he did that sort of thing early on in his career, but he's been just more of the financial and business side of things for a long time. But it's nice because with the role that he had, you know, he knows like every player agent out there in the friggin' league, and he knows probably most of the GMs already.
Yep.
It's a great seamless transaction. In my opinion, I think this is going to be somebody who could be an excellent general manager for Pittsburgh. And if there's any weakness that he may have, it could possibly be in the scouting department. And that's why Andy Weidel of the Philadelphia Eagles was brought in as the assistant general manager. He was one of the guys that was one of the finalists, one of the six guys that got a second interview in the process. And he's got 24 years of scouting experience in the NFL and regarded as one of those up and coming guys who is bound to get a general manager job sooner rather than later. Now he gets some experience as an assistant general manager for Pittsburgh and really can kind of compliment Omar Khan in an excellent manner. But yeah, we can only be thankful for having a guy like that here. And it goes without saying that he was the guy that was in the room, and maybe he was responsible, maybe he wasn't. But the Eagles did trade up one pick before the Baltimore Ravens and selected Jordan Davis, the massive defensive tackle out of Georgia. And you would have not wanted him to be in Baltimore, that's for sure. That would have been awful to have to play against him twice a year every year.
Yep.
And thanks to Andy Weidel and company in Philly, they made that happen. So grateful for what he did while he was there, no doubt. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what gems he can help us find in future draft classes.
Absolutely. In other front office news, Sheldon White has now been hired as the director of pro scouting. And he was recently, he is the father of Cody White, who currently plays on the team. And then he's actually been doing scouting since
77 would be a really long time.
Yeah, but still, not. I mean, 97, still, you're looking at, what, 25 years?
Yeah.
Ish, just about, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, about 25 years experience in the scouting department. That's incredible.
Great.
So they just pulled in 50 years of scouting experience with these two guys. That's awesome, you know?
That's a W, as people would say,
yeah.
W.
Yeah, so and you're going to get different opinions from different areas, and maybe these guys have a few tricks up their sleeves that the people in the Steelers front office have never heard before. Or here's this particular school over here, we've always kept our eye on it because they're really good at producing tight ends, or they're really good at producing corners, yep, or whatever. You know, these guys are going to have some secrets of the trade that they've been doing for all these years, and they're only going to add to the room. So ecstatic to see this high level kind of experience and talent coming into the Steelers front office. And then a nice move on the top of these. Mm-hmm. They promoted Dan Colbert from the, I think he was just an area scout previously. So. And now he's the director.
Yep.
Director of college scouting. This was Kevin's brother. And a lot of people were worried about if somebody else took over, was he going to get the axe? Was he going to get pushed out the door? Cause he's the old general manager's brother. Nope. He got promoted.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
and to be clear, this is exciting. I'm sure it's stressful to a degree for them specifically and for us as fans, but it's also exciting. This is probably the most action around our front office with moves and hiring and promotions that has been done since Mike Tomlin was hired. Like, it's been a long time since this many transactions in the front office have happened at one time. So You combine that with the whole fact that we have two quarterbacks that have never been on the team for Mason Rudolph, who hasn't really gotten a full chance to prove himself. And then on top of that, a new offensive coordinator that's only in his second year. And, you know, all these different areas, new offensive line coach, like all this stuff. It's exciting. This is like the most action we've seen in a Pittsburgh Steelers locker room, office, blah, 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 all at the same time. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, tons of, like you said, tons of fresh talent on the team, mm-hmm, too. When you think about within the draft class of the last 2 years, new starting quarterback, new starting running back, new starting tight end, new wide receivers, multiple offensive linemen.
Yep.
It's just a complete makeover of the offense. And the defense got a few pieces here and there as well. But it's just really exciting to see all this young talent, all these young players. Something I read just before we started, too, speaking of the starting running back, Najee's up to 244 pounds, they say.
From 230. Let's go.
He's thicker than a Snicker, man. Look out.
I'm excited for that. Something else I saw right before we started this was also just talking about that QB room. Kenny Pickett is still, every day at OTAs, is picking the brains of Trubisky and Mason, asking them questions, asking them, you know, different things about the plays, about their experience and stuff. He's ready to learn, and I'm excited for it. And I hope he has the opportunity to learn before starting. We've been over this before. I'm leaving it there. We're moving on. I don't want to fall into that, you know, thing. We're going to go over real quick OTAs for week one and then who was missing and stuff like that. But then don't forget, at the end of this, we're going to go over the Ravens draft class. So keep an eye open for that. We'll be in that maybe the next 10 minutes or so. Probably not even, so.
No, not even, I'm sure. But yeah, what did we learn? That's the next topic here. What did we learn from week one of OTAs? They're only allowed to talk about so much. A lot of this is what player got interviewed by so-and-so and spilled a little bit of the beans, and then we're able to talk about it because the reporters that are actually there aren't allowed to say what they see in practice unless it's being talked about by a player, coach, etc.
Yep.
So what we did learn is that the quarterback room started off with Trubisky, then Mason Rudolph, then Kenny Pickett, then Chris Oladukun. That's the pecking order right now on how they're getting the snaps. Doesn't mean it's going to stay like that way, but I would anticipate it staying that way at least until we get into full-fledged training camp. Then maybe you might see it shuffle a little bit depending on performances in the preseason games and in practice, that sort of thing. Offensive line, it's been a big question all along. Where are these new guys going to play? It seems like both Mason Cole and James Daniels can play anywhere on the interior. Left guard, right guard, center, take your pick. They've played all the positions, right?
That they have.
What we've learned is that Mason Cole practiced first team at center, James Daniel first team at right guard, which then did leave, of course, Kevin Dotson at left guard first team. And we have Kendrick Green practicing at a backup guard position. So it sounds like he's going to get a chance to play a little bit of the position that he played more so in college. I don't know that that's necessarily going to go a whole lot better for him. He's going to be a lot more one-on-one situations with these big guys. So hopefully he did a good job of getting in the weight room, adding some bulk in ability to anchor against those power bull rush moves, because that seemed to be his biggest issue. I do think, however, him at guard, if he is assigned a pulling guard position, if you're running outside and he's the guard pulling from the backside, he'll probably look really good doing that because he is very athletic.
Yeah.
It's just when you're in that short yardage situation and it's you one-on-one against the guy in front of you and you got to win that battle and push him backwards, that might even be more difficult at guard than it is at center.
Yeah, when he's pulling, he has a head of steam. That helps.
Yeah, and he's an athletic dude.
Yeah.
It's just the size is the issue. You know, the lack of arm length, the lack of upper body strength in comparison to other people. I'm not saying that he's a weakling by any means. That's not it. Just you have to be even stronger than a regular player if you have shorter arms to make up for it.
Yep.
And that's tough to do when you're coming in the league as a rookie. It just takes time to build that extra strength up.
Yeah. So players that were missing from week one of OTA, specifically players that one is under a contract negotiation period, basically with Pittsburgh. And the second one is coming off of a, how do you want to call it?
Tumultuous season.
Yeah, we'll put it that way. So Stephon Tuitt was missing week one, and then Deontay Johnson was missing week one. Obviously Deontay Johnson under the contract issues, they haven't come to an agreement. I'm sure he wants paid more than, and I don't mean this in any way, I'm not attacking the player, but I'm sure he wants more than what Pittsburgh thinks he's worth right now with the recent issues of catching the ball, this and that, the market, the value. Pittsburgh is very good at drafting and quite frankly, just allowing their wide receivers to grow naturally in the locker room and at practice. Is Deontay Johnson worth a long-term deal? That's what it comes down to. So,
in a what number?
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Because to me, Deontay Johnson, the player, there's a lot of talent there, right? You wouldn't have gotten into the Pro Bowl last year if it wasn't for him being a very talented player. Yep. There is some moments where you see a lack of focus, finishing out a play effort-wise, and then sometimes just inexplicably dropping the ball. And that was a rough thing for him the last 2 years. And last season, he seemed like he had it all cleaned up till about week 9 or 10 or so, and then all of a sudden it came back, and it was at least once a game he was dropping the ball again.
And giving up on plays where it led to an interception. Like, I think I remember two times mm-hmm. for sure, if not more, where he just would give up on a play and then almost not even make an effort to tackle the player that intercepted the ball either.
So, which was my biggest gripe on it, because I think when he did give up on balls thrown his direction that were overthrown, it was pretty obvious most of the time it was not going to be a catchable ball. So I understand it to that part. But now you turn into the defender. It's your job to try to break it up and make sure the defender does not intercept the ball. And that is where he failed as far as his effort. Yeah. So that was what irritated me, because the second you identify that you're not going to be able to catch the ball, you're turning into a defender to try to make it an incomplete pass and protect your quarterback in that manner, you know?
Yep.
And there was a couple times that he didn't do that, and it really struck me the wrong way. So I think that if they were to agree to a long-term extension right now, it probably would be a lesser dollar amount than what he thinks he's worth long-term. Cause I'm betting he's looking for that $20 million a year plus, because that's right around what all these wide receivers just got.
Yep.
And if I'm Pittsburgh, I think I'd have a tough time giving him $20 million a year right now. Then I wouldn't prioritize extending him over Minka Fitzpatrick. I'm definitely prioritizing Minka first and then talking to Deontay.
Yep, I would agree with that as well.
Now, a thing to note on this too here before we go too far off the beaten path, this is a voluntary organized team activity. So they're not required to be there right now. Usually attendance is extremely high. Almost everyone goes to them because obviously it helps you as a player, but they're not required to be there. So neither one of them are, you know, oh my God, I hate the Steelers, I'm not coming back. That's not what's going on here.
Nope.
It's just, you know, they opted to work out on their own instead of going.
Now, let's be clear. Deontay's probably had a little bit to do with the contract negotiation, but it wasn't to the point of screw you guys.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why he's present for week two.
Yeah, exactly. So today, the day that we're recording, was the first day of week two of OTAs, organized team activities, that is. And Deontay Johnson is present and working out. So that's a great sign. Maybe he just wanted to say, hey, if I want to, I won't show up. Just want to put that on your radar that this is a thing.
Maybe he's like, look at what you got week one. That's who you have without me. You know,
yeah,
they got it. Yeah, they got a feeling absolutely. Of what that's like. So
chasing what, right? Chasing a bunch of rookies and unproven guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I was going to bring up Cody White, but I just didn't want to.
Let's not make Sheldon angry. He just got here.
His name's Cody. Leave him alone. So, yeah, Deontay Johnson's there. That's great news. We'll keep you guys updated with anything else that changes there. But now it is time.
It sounds like Tua will probably be there soon, according to Cam Hayward. So
Cam's
been saying that for a while. Cam's been saying that for a while. That's his boy. He'll always say nice things about him.
Yeah,
I get it.
All right. Now it is time that you all came for us to go over the Ravens draft class and give our input on what they got. So, right off the bat, round one, pick 14. Thank God Jordan Davis went at pick 13. And they had to draft Kyle Hamilton, safety.
Andy Weidel.
Yep, thank you, sir. Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame. Good pick. Great pick. I'll be honest, great pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah, honestly, if he would have run a better 40 time, then he would have been a top five guy. But he came out and ran a 4.59 or a 4.6, I think, at the combine, and then slower at his pro day. And everybody said, oh, my goodness, maybe he's not a good safety anymore. And I get it. I get it. Like, that's a concern. Speed in the NFL is a real big thing. I would have had a tough time with it. If Pittsburgh drafted him, I would have been like, okay, he's the strong safety. Mink is the free. It's fine. He's going to go against the run and against tight ends and running backs a lot more. He doesn't have to be super speedy.
Yep.
But I do like speed in the secondary, and I feel like this is – a guy with average speed at best. So there are areas of his game that can be exploited, but as far as talent, his talent is premier. He's a very good safety. So we'll see how that translates and how that goes long-term. Cause if you start in the NFL and you're already not fast, as you start aging and losing speed, that might be a real quick drop-off. So it might be one of those guys that doesn't have a really long career because he's already not fast.
Yeah, and we've seen what happens with our secondary when you don't have fast people on the team. especially the AFC.
Yeah, Joe, look at how it dropped off for Joe Hayden. He was the top corner. He was a Pro Bowler 1 year, and then a year or two later, you don't really even want him out there because everybody's smoking him.
Yep.
So when your speed drops, it drops and it's drastic usually. So that's what we got on Kyle Hamilton. I would expect him to be a very good safety for a number of years, but I wouldn't really expect a 10-plus year career out of him. The next guy they took in the first round, they did have two picks in the first. I think they traded back up for this one, honestly. The center out of Iowa, Tyler Linderbaum, early in the draft process, everybody had Tyler Linderbaum as their first safety, or first center, I should say. Yep. And then the measurables came in, and, you know, you knew that he was listed as a smaller guy in Iowa, but, you know, most of his tape was pretty good. And then realized that not only was he not 300 pounds, he was barely 295. He's 6'2". His arms are a full inch shorter than Kendrick Green's, and that was a real problem for Kendrick Green last year. Yeah. I think he's 61 and a quarter or 61 and an eighth inch long armed, or 31, that is, not 31. 61.
I was going to say.
31, woo! Yeah. Yeah, just very, very short arms for an offensive lineman. And this is, it just reminds me of what Cam Hayward said earlier in the offseason, that he loves going against small offensive linemen. And I think he's going to love going against this guy, honestly, just because of that drastic difference in size, strength, and length. You know, I think Cam's going to have a field day against a guy like this, and he's probably going to start right out of the gate. So probably a guy that if you get him on the move is going to be his best. But again, in that one-on-one type situation, he's going to have a real problem against those big defensive linemen in the NFL, because he had a problem with the larger defensive linemen in college. That's when he got on the move, when he got one-on-one with linebackers, that's where he won. So that's kind of what you're looking at with him. You got anything, any opinions there on Mr. Linderbaum, Cody?
No, they did trade back into the first for him.
I thought so.
Yeah, they traded back into the first for him. And the thing is, when you think about all the times when the Ravens were at their best, they had pretty decent centers on the team. And I don't even know who their most recent center was, but like Jeff Mitchell in the 2000s, Matt Burke in 10-11, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was when they were at their best, when they were incredible running team. That was back when they had Ray Rice. I mean, just the power that came behind that offensive line when they had a solid center in there was drastic. So I'm very curious to see what happens with him and if he turns out to be something good for them, or if he turns out to be a play toy for our defensive line. So we'll have to wait and see. Next guy.
Speaking of, let's see how people play out long-term. The first pick for them in the second round, an outside linebacker, edge rusher, whatever you'd like to call him, David Ojabo out of Michigan. David really burst onto this scene this last year. Everybody had their eyes on his running mate, Aiden Hutchinson, who ended up going second overall, I believe. Second. Yeah, to the Detroit Lions. He stayed home. but just incredible talent for Aiden Hutchinson. And then all of a sudden, we're noticing this guy, David Ojabo, this speedy edge rusher on the other side, was beating him to the quarterback a bunch of times. He had an excellent season this year for the Michigan Wolverines and really made that defense just a nightmare for a lot of people. Penn State couldn't do anything against him because these guys just beat up on Penn State's offensive line so bad it wasn't even funny. But he is coming off of a torn Achilles on his pro day.
Yep.
So that's very recent. He most likely will not play this upcoming season. So you're looking at his impact being 2023. And then it's about, you know, what's his recovery? Does he get back to full speed? His speed was kind of his game. He wasn't a small guy by any means, but I want to say he was in that 250, 255 range. And if you don't have your speed when you're that size, what do you have? So we'll see how he recovers, but the talent level, he would have probably been top 15 had he not torn his Achilles.
Oh, easily. And it's also important. We talk a lot of the times about chemistry and people that play well together, this and that. He also is now with a high school teammate in the linebacker that they drafted last year, Odafe Oweh. Yep, they played together in high school, so they are now teammates again. So interesting fact for that signing there.
Formerly Jason Oweh of Penn State.
Jason
decided to graduate and change his name to Odafay, which my guess is that Jason was like his middle name or something.
Something for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some talent there on their edge rushers. They continued on the defensive side with their next pick, defensive tackle Travis Jones out of UConn. He was one of those guys that when you watched the Senior Bowl practices, was extremely successful in practices and basically won every one-on-one drill. He was one of the people that when we were talking in the pre-draft process, there were two guys that I was cool with Pittsburgh drafting in the second round. And it was Perrion Winfrey and Travis Jones. One went to the Browns, the other went to the Ravens. So some good talent. I will not badge this pick at all. In the third round, that's very good value. He's a very strong individual. I want to say he put up a good 40 time too. I want to say he pulled off like a 4.89 or something at the combine. Got some wheels on him for such a big dude. I want to say he's right about 325 pounds. And I know he did well at the combine, and it looks like Cody's looking that up for us right now.
I am. He ran a 4.92.
4.92. That's great for a 325 pound guy, man. That's really moving.
That's a lot of weight moving fairly fast. Don't want to stand in front of that. I wouldn't personally. That would be unfortunate for me.
No, I also would not.
No, not at all. So again, I don't have anything to say about this either. That's a great pick for them. We've talked about him before. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next guy because I also think it was a great pick. Daniel Falele, the guy that I had mocked in one of my mock drafts, offensive tackle from Minnesota, round 4, pick 5. Some people had him as a third round talent, or most people, I should even say, had him as a third round talent.
Yeah.
And he happened to fall
second round too.
Yeah. He happened to fall into the early fourth round. And at 6'9", 379 pounds, he's fairly big, to say the least. So again, he's going to be charged with blocking guys like TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, even Trey Hendrickson. He's going to have to block these guys. So I'm excited to see what he does against these players specifically, especially in the division. I mean, the division is just becoming powerhouse versus powerhouse, which is really fun to watch. And when you get a guy like this who is almost created to rival a TJ Watt and a Miles Garrett, it's going to be really enjoyable to see those matchups and see if TJ can step up to the challenge. 6'9" is a big boy. Let's not be mistaken.
Yeah. And that 379 is the lightest listing I've seen of them. Most had them 385, 390, and around there.
Yep.
So it just depends on what week you weigh them, you know, or did you weigh them after dinner or after breakfast?
Yep.
But massive individual. He played mostly right tackle in college at Minnesota. So I imagine that they will put him on the right side, which, as Cody hinted, that is TJ's side. And right now his weakness is against speed guys. TJ's got a real nice speed move to the outside. I have a feeling that TJ is going to win those matchups in the early part of Falele's career. We'll see how he develops.
We'll see if he starts. Falele might not even start. So
I'd be stunned if he doesn't, to be honest with you.
We taking bets?
I think he's probably going to win that job fairly easily, but he needs to develop on his pass blocking skills. That's the biggest weakness for Falele, but that's really it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have him lose a little weight too, you know, drop down 20 pounds and work on his lateral agility a little bit. Next guy they went with is a corner out of Alabama. This is their second
out of four fourth round picks. Or six, excuse me, five. Six. Five. Six. Yeah,
six, it was six fourth okay. round picks. Yes. Wow. 6 fourth round picks. And fun thing about this too, we're gonna talk about this corner that they drafted from Alabama in a second here, but there's a fun story to be tied to this. The Ravens had 6 picks in the fourth round. The Steelers had 1. They drafted Calvin Austin the third. When they did so, the Ravens said, "Oh, dang it, they really wanted him." And I'm thinking to myself, man, you had how many picks before that in the fourth round? That's where you should have taken him.
Yep.
But they must have thought he was going to be there for one of their later fourth round picks. And as you can see thus far in the draft, they have not addressed the wide receiver position.
Spoiler alert, they don't.
They lost Hollywood Brown in a trade. So yeah, their wide receiver room really got a lot thinner. I mean, we've got Miles Boykin now, so they don't have him anymore either.
Nope. They got Mark Andrews. That's it.
It's tight ends, running backs, and
nobody
and a mobile quarterback.
Yep.
It's going to be a short offense. They're not going to be throwing the ball down.
I'm still nervous about their defense. Their offense doesn't scare me anymore.
No, it shouldn't.
Well, I know we've sacked Lamar Jackson how many times every time we played him recently, but
7 or 9, like every time. And they haven't beat us in 3 years.
I'll take those numbers.
Yeah, I don't fear the Ravens these days. They got a lot of talent in this draft. I'll be honest. They did a pretty dang good job, and they usually do. They're good at drafting players. But the Jalen Armour Davis out of Alabama is a good sized kid, 6'1", 197 pounds. He's fast. Ran a 4.39 40. Apparently had a lot of injuries in his college career, so that seems to be the biggest concern on him. Then they started on tight ends and special teams.
They did. Charlie Kolar.
Hmm?
Charlie Kolar, tight end out of Iowa State, with their third 4th round pick. He is just a tight end. I don't know. He's an insurance agent, or he's an insurance. I feel like since Nick Boyle had an injury recently, or I believe it was Nick Boyle. It wasn't Mark Andrews. It had to have been Nick Boyle. Because Mark Andrews is literally the only active tight end that I think they have right now. But again, Kolar was a award finalist in 2020 and 2021 for the award. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like the best tight end award for college football or whatever. No, was it?
Is it the John Mackey Award?
Yes, Mackey Award. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he was a finalist for those. I don't think he won either one of them, if I remember correctly. But again, he's definitely more of a receiving tight end if my memory serves me right, but I could be thinking of the wrong tight end. I might have looked at the other guy, the other tight end they had.
Oh, both of them are receiving tight ends. Okay. Yeah, this guy is 6'6", 252, but they both seem to be a lot better tape receiving the ball than it is blocking.
Fair enough. I don't have any more to say about him. The next guy's fun because he's a Penn State guy.
Yeah, we are. Next pick. First punter taken in this entire draft class, punter Jordan Stout out of Penn State University. This guy was also the starting field goal kicker for Penn State last year. So good selection. He has a very strong leg. He can really boom the ball. You don't have to worry about the cold weather because obviously he was already doing that in Penn State, very nearby to Baltimore there. And pretty accurate field goal kicker too, but a better punter than he is a field goal kicker. So he'll remain as the punter. But in a pinch, he could do kicking duties for them also, which is something that we don't have. Our punter cannot do kicking duties.
No, can't do that. But career long 76-yard punt for him. 76.
Pretty dang good.
That's a long punt. That's a leg. That's a leg and a half, my guy.
Some of the times that he punted the ball, man, you were just like, holy cow.
What are you going to do? I just keep go run and catch it. I don't know. Punters are just, we talked about it last year with us drafting a punter in the 7th. You got to go out and get your guy. And that's what they did. 4th round punter. Dang.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. Good? I'm curious when the earliest punter was drafted in the NFL. In the Super Bowl era specifically. I'm going to look it up later. I'm going to look it up.
I'll tell you when the first kicker was.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, someone
first round, Sebastian Janikowski for the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Al Davis didn't play around. He said, this kicker can make him over 50 yards and nobody else can. I want him.
Fair enough. Oh, I looked it up. Janikowski is technically the earliest punter. It just says, what is the earliest a punter has been drafted? Janikowski. He wasn't a punter.
Yeah, he wasn't a punter at all.
Whatever. Whatever. 17th overall pick. All right, let's move on.
17th? I didn't realize it was that high. Oh, man. Can you imagine taking a kicker 17th overall?
No, especially not being the Raiders and whatever. Yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl with them because they lost to the Raiders. Or not the Buccaneers, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sad day. Sad day. Rondé Barber, John Lynch, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks. That was a defense, man.
Kickers going in the 1st round again. I'm going to say not likely.
Never.
Now, the next player drafted by the Ravens, Isaiah Likely.
I see what you did there. You caught me off guard with that one. I wasn't ready.
Yes. I snuck it by him. Bravo. Coastal Carolina Bravo. Kid. 6'6", 245, another receiving tight end, except he ran a 4.8, 240, but apparently he looks a lot more explosive on tape than he does on a 40-yard dash.
And again, a lot of people had him late second, early third round, and he fell to a fourth. So great pickup by them. Isaiah Likely was a guy that I had mentioned briefly. James had mentioned briefly. We talked about him in the live mock draft, I believe, and even in other mock drafts, that as a tight end, that could be our third tight end. Behind Freiermuth and Gentry, potentially even moving up ahead of Gentry. But side note, expect Gentry to have an explosive year this year. Just calling it right now.
Yeah. I expect a lot bigger role from him. He really showed what he can do last year, in my opinion. Next pick for the Ravens, their sixth and final fourth round pick. I don't know if this is Madden or real life right now.
I don't know either.
Cornerback out of Houston, Demarion Williams. He's 5'10", 182 pounds. He's a slot kind of guy, tough against the run. I wouldn't really expect for him to make an enormous impact. Just another guy. When you start getting that late in the fourth round, if you get any contribution, it's a wonderful thing. Then the last guy, a running back. You want to cover him for me, Cody?
Running back by the name of Tyler Batty, who's probably not going to be a baddie. You know what I'm saying? He's probably going to be just bad.
Well, all their running backs, it seemed, tore their ACLs last year, and that's really bad. Yep. So at least you got one guy not coming off an ACL injury.
Yep, it's very true. Batty, in his, I believe, his entire career at Missouri, averaged a 5.3 yard per carry, which was phenomenal.
That's good.
5.3 is great. And then he also scored a touchdown every 22 carries. Fun fact. Let me clarify, on average, it's not like every 22nd carry he got a touchdown. I would just be like, all right, we're giving him the ball every play.
Yeah. Fourth and goal. When was the last time he had a touchdown? Oh, don't run it then.
No. Don't do it.
It's been 20 plays. It's two more before he gets one.
But that's going to finish up their draft.
Yeah, overall, you got to say that the Ravens really added a bunch of talent. It's just, to me, the only reason that I'm not like, wow, this is the best draft class ever is because they completely ignored the wide receiver position, which is just a royal blunder, in my opinion. Unless they're planning on trading for one, their wide receiver room isn't going to scare anybody.
And it was a fairly deep wide receiver class.
Oh, yeah, there was tons of talent at wide
receiver. And 90%, and a lot of them fell. They had opportunity after opportunity to get these guys, and they just didn't. The fact that we got, or who was it? Oh, I don't remember who it was now. Somebody got a freaking steal. I don't know if it was, it might have been Olave. I don't know. It was somebody. Somebody fell drastically, and just, I couldn't believe it. But again, ignoring one of their top needs on an offense that is basically one-dimensional right now, minus Mark Andrews, is a big oopsie-daisy on their part, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd be very curious and very intrigued to see what happens from here on out. And I'm also curious what this means for Justin Tucker. I don't know what the current contract is for Justin Tucker, but if they have a punter that they can put in there as a...
No, he's not going anywhere.
Like, when you say that, he's an expensive punter, kicker, whatever.
The but punter again, just retired. That's all that was.
Okay, I wasn't sure, but whatever.
Yeah.
Good backup for Justin Tucker, I guess, whatever. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. Make sure if you haven't already, share the Facebook page. You can share the page as a whole. Share these YouTube videos. Share the podcast online. We'd love to see this Facebook group and in general, our Steelers by the Lake family continue to grow. We appreciate you guys' listening, your guys' comments, your guys' feedback, everything all the time. My favorite thing, I told this to James last week, my favorite thing is my buddy Nick listens every week while he's working. Every single week. And I always tell when he's listening. He never tells me when he's listening, but I can always tell because he'll message me something that has to do with what we're talking about. And last week he sent me a screenshot of the Erie Express team, because we were talking about our local football team that we went to see their first game, and he circled the player we were talking about. He's like, this is who it was, just so you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's listening. That's great. Again, we would love to hear more feedback from you guys. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. If you have something you want us to talk about on the podcast, We would be more than happy to talk about it. If you have a question you want us to answer, let us know. If you have something that maybe you want to share with the listeners, let us know. We can have a phone call with you or something and discuss what maybe you might want to share. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And give those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts for James because they make him smile. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.